by the broad-minded,
Vridhi,
within the heart, Brahma, the Supreme, Param, Godhead, Vyayan,
constantly thinking of,
Na,
Avartita,
past his days,
Yataha,
wherever,
Gataha,
went. He then started toward the north, treading the path accepted by his forefathers and great men to devote himself completely to the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he lived in that way wherever he went. Please repeat. He then started toward the north, treading the path accepted by his forefathers and great men, to devote himself completely to the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he lived in that way wherever he went. Purport. It is understood from this verse that Maharaj Yudhisthira followed in the footsteps of his forefathers and the great devotees of the Lord. We have discussed many times before that the system of Varna Ashram Dharma, as it was strictly followed by the inhabitants of the world, specifically by those who inhabited the Aryavarta province of the world, emphasizes the importance of leaving all household connections at a certain stage of life. The training and education was so important, and thus a respectable person like Maharaj Yudhisthira had to leave all family connection for self-realization and going back to Godhead. No king or respectable gentleman would continue his family life till the end, because that was considered suicidal and against the interests of the perfection of human life. In order to be free from all family encumbrances and devote oneself 100% in the devotional service of Lord Krishna, the system is always recommended for everyone because it is a path of authority. The Lord instructs in the Bhagavad Gita 18:62 that one must become a devotee of the Lord at least at this last stage of one's life. A sincere soul of the Lord like Maharaj Yudhisthira must abide by this instruction of the Lord for his own interest. The specific words Brahma Param indicates Lord Sri Krishna. This is corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:13 by Arjuna with reference to great authorities like Asita, Devala, Narada, and Vyas. Thus, Maharaj Yudhisthira, while leaving home for the north, constantly remembered Lord Sri Krishna within himself, following the footsteps of the forefathers as well as the great devotees of all times. Udicham pari veshasam gata purva mahatmavi Vridhi Brahma Param Vyayam Navarteta Ito Gataha. He then started toward the north, treading the path accepted by his forefathers and great men to devote himself completely to the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he lived in that way wherever he went. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Madhuri Bhakti Dhamata Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskatyade Satarna Tarko Apratishta Shutiya Vivina Nasavarishir Yasyana Vina Dharmasya Tattvam Nihiktam Guhayam Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta. Generally, people are trying to understand things by discussion. We think that with our intelligence, and we use our intelligence against someone else's intelligence, then whoever wins, their idea is supreme. So this is called Taraka Apratishya. But of course, someone will come along and then defeat my arguments, and there's no end to it. modern education is based upon that. Simply someone writes a thesis, and the next person to write on the same subject has to defeat him or write something better than him. And that way there's never a conclusion. Because otherwise, with a conclusion, then the schools would have to close down. Mm-hmm. The people making all the money wouldn't make that much money anymore. Mm-hmm. But the idea is not to find out the truth, it's to find out money. Money, sweeter than honey. The thief, the professional soldier, and the merchant, they'll risk their very dear lives just to get some money. But that's not reality. Although, discussion, as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not that we avoid discussion. That we use our intelligence, but we discuss from the point of view of the authority, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That way, even we're confronted sometimes with opposition, still, when we put forward our philosophy of Krishna consciousness and becomes victorious, then our faith is strengthened even more. So Prabhupada did not avoid the argument, but he made sure he won all the arguments. Tarka apratishta shrutiya vibina. So shrutiya vibina, there are so many shrutis. There are so many Vedic literatures, and they all give some information about some subject matter. Because everyone has a different interest, and therefore nigama kalpatara galitam balam sukamukha drava amritam. Therefore the Vedic literature is considered like a desire tree. Whatever we want, if we want health or wealth, we want mystic power, we want a trip to the heavenly planets for a vacation, whatever we want, we can get if we actually follow the Vedic knowledge. It is not that we just read the Vedas and we get whatever we want. I read the Vedas, now here's my shopping list. No, we actually have to study the Vedas in such a way that we practically apply them, which is, in this age, no one's going to do it because it requires too much austerity, too much sacrifice, too much expertise, especially chanting the Vedic mantras. In order to properly chant one letter in the Vedic alphabet, in the Sanskrit alphabet, sometimes it would take 6 months to just learn how to, for a brahmachari living in complete celibacy beyond any external influence in the forest with the guru, taking 6 months to learn how to chant properly one letter. So who's going to do that nowadays? For us, it would take 6 lifetimes. And when the Vedic hymns were chanted, just like when the priests chanted the Vedic hymns at the fire sacrifice of Maharaj Prithu, when Indra stole the horse, the priest chanted a hymn, let Indra enter into the sacrifice. So Indra started to fall into the sacrifice. The Vedic priests, their chanting was so powerful that even Indra was forced to fall into the sacrifice and get burned. Of course, luckily for Indra, there was some Brahma didn't like that there was going to be a burnt Indra. Hard to get a good Indra nowadays. Therefore, he stopped Indra from falling. So Brahma was able to override the priests. In any case, if one doesn't chant the Vedic hymns properly, one may get into a great deal of difficulty also. When Sudakshina, his father, was killed by Krishna, along with begins with a P, who was imitating Pundraka. When Pundraka fought against Krishna, Kasiraj, his friend, came out and Krishna cut off his head, and with the Sudarshan Chakra at his head, landed in the city of Kasi. Everyone gathered around thinking that Kasiraj probably cut off the head of his enemy, Krishna. And in order to enliven the sun, the residents of Kasi, which is nowadays Varanasi, he had cut his head off and thrown it into the city. But upon closer examination, they saw that Kasi, that smile looked like Kasi Raj. That weird smile. And they realized it was actually Kasi Raj's head, who Krishna had cut it off and thrown it into the city. Therefore, everyone in Kasi was lamenting, and Sudakshin, his son, decided to avenge his father's death by appeasing Lord Shiva by austerity. When Lord Shiva was appeased, he asked for the benediction of someone who could kill Krishna. Lord Shiva didn't volunteer, but Lord Shiva said that you can perform a sacrifice, and out of the sacrifice, then one demon will come and he'll at least attack your enemy. And if your enemy is a Brahmin, then my ghost will follow along with him and they'll be able to destroy him. Sudakshin and his priests, they perform the fire sacrifice. The black demon appeared, burning, fiery demon, burning the heaven, the earth, appeared with a big trident, naked. Sudakshin told him to go to Dwarka and kill his enemy. This fiery demon went there to start to disturb all the inhabitants of Dwarka. And then finally Krishna took his Sudarshan Chakra, threw it at the demon, and the demon fled, because the Sudarshan Chakra was much brighter and much more powerful than he was. Therefore he went back, and this, because he couldn't kill his enemy, therefore he burned to death Sudakshin and the priests. The Vedic hymns are such that if you chant them, then there has to be some result. And if it's not chanted properly or there's some difficulty, you might be destroyed by them. Just like Twasta's priests, they chanted a long A instead of a short one. And instead of getting an enemy that would, an enemy of Indra, they got Ritrasura, whose enemy was Indra. Slight difference. Instead of killing Indra, Indra killed him. So difficult to chant the Vedic mantra. Shrutya Vibhina. There's so many of them. Nasavari Shiryasya Navina. And amongst the sages, everyone has a different opinion. Gotama, Kanada, Jaimini, Patanjali. Everyone has their opinion. Otherwise, they wouldn't get a PhD degree. They get famous, they get their following, because they have a different opinion. If one studies all these philosophies, then one will also come up with his own opinion. Because that's the nature of the material world. Unless one is Krishna conscious, one is in darkness to some degree. And in the darkness, everyone sees things differently. Therefore, to take shelter of such persons is not a good shelter. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishinha nartasya chagadam udangato majitaunam taptasya tat prativitir ihanja shestas tvadvido tanubritam tvad upekshatana. So the idea is everyone in this world is looking for shelter. It's dirashya, ye bhagya artha manina. Because everyone feels it insecure. If someone thinks, oh, I'm very unfortunate, I feel insecure. No, if one felt secure, only crazy people feel secure. If you're in a world where everything's changing all the time, how can you feel secure? So everyone's looking for shelter. The question is where to look for shelter. The parents, they actually give their children, at least previously, they used to give their children shelter. But even they tried to give the children shelter, still sometimes the children would get some difficulty, even die. And the doctor naturally tries to give shelter, or at least formally. They used to try to give shelter to the patient. Now they try and get, the more they get the patient sick, the more money they make. It's not very good to cure a patient, then they don't take any more medicine. But formerly they used to try to cure the patient with good medicine and an expert doctor, but still sometimes the patient would succumb to the illness and die. Strong boat may try to cross the ocean, probably uses the example of the Titanic, but still it sank. Taptasya, those who are suffering in this material world, actually that's Nartasya, taptasya, by austerity, by something, by some endeavor, taptasya tat privitir ihandra shesta. One may try in so many different ways to try to be protected, but still it may fail. And even if it works, even if the boat's going to cross the water, even if the child grows up, even if the medicine cures the patient, still we die anyhow. Still nothing is an ultimate protection. The only ultimate protection is to get out of material consciousness, to take shelter of Krishna. Generally speaking, one gets a kingdom and he runs the kingdom. So Maharaja Yudhisthira was a king. But what is a king? He's the biggest householder. We may have a little house, he has a bigger house, that's all. But he has the same idea. What is the house used for? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So the king has a big house, the householder has a little house, and the mouse in the house, he has also his little house, his little hole in the house. He's doing the same thing. And Brahma, and the Brahma Loka, he's also doing the same thing. So everyone's doing the same thing in this world. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And we're afraid, somehow or another, if I'm out of my house, I won't get something to eat, a place to sleep, and etc., and therefore life will be difficult. But that's not the goal of life. This is called dharashya, something insignificant. Even Krishna has provided food for the mouse in the house, well, why won't he not provide food for the person living in the house? You think he loves the mouse better than you? Maybe. Depends. If the mouse is actually a devotee, then maybe. But generally speaking, most mice are not so intelligent. In any case, one has to give up this endeavor for sense gratification and try to take shelter of Krishna. That's the Varna and Ashram system. Because Mahajna Yena Katasa Bandha, that there's always some Mahajna. We have to choose who we're going to take as our leader. In the mode of ignorance, Haranyakashipu, Kamsa, Ravana, they're the heroes. There's even a Ramayana in South India in which Ravana is the hero. Because, for especially in South India, where he comes from, Ravana, then, you know, of course he's a hometown demon, so. Hometown is. In any case, Ravana was in the mode of ignorance, but still he was a hero for some people. And indeed, nowadays, people are not, although he had a bad habit, like eating people sometimes, especially saving. But still, he was a learned person. He actually was learned in the Vedic culture. He encouraged sacrifices. He honored something like Brahmins. Therefore, he was not an ordinary asura. He had some Vedic culture behind him. And the mode of passion, we take some businessman, Bill Gates, some wealthy person, as our hero, and we try to learn from them how to win friends and influence people. And the mode of goodness, we become nature lovers, and we are into the environment, ecologists, whatever. In this way, we're trying to find peace and shelter and happiness. We choose some leader, and then we follow them in order to achieve our objective. Everyone has to follow instruction. But dharmasitatvamitam guhaya, only one who's, this word is tattva, one who's actually experienced the truth, then they can actually impart the truth to us. Not just by theoretical knowledge, although one who's repeating theoretical knowledge to some extent realizes it also. Because there's no difference between the theoretical knowledge and the truth. It's just a question of how seriously we follow that knowledge, how much we actually realize it. There's the difference between a ripe mango and an unripe mango. They're both mangoes, but one is much sweeter than the other. Similarly, those who are repeating the truth, and even better than that, one who's actually realized the truth, tattva. Tat means that. But it means that in the sense you can actually point it out and indicate it because you have experience of it. You actually know about it. Therefore Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvadaha. By actually experiencing Krishna consciousness, one becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. We have to want to go to the spiritual world. We can't want to go to the spiritual world unless we have experienced what the spiritual world is. And we can't have experience of the spiritual world unless we follow the process by which we gradually enter into the spiritual world even in this lifetime. It's not that at the end of life suddenly we'll get this idea, maybe I should go to the spiritual world. It's not going to happen like that. Unless we, in this lifetime, enter into the spiritual world, then we won't want to go to there at the end of this lifetime. And how? Bhakti mama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. We can experience Krishna only through the process of bhakti. So bhakti means not just trying to feel Krishna, it means to serve Krishna. And service to Krishna also entails some jnana and vairagya. Not just to keep ourselves surrounded by all material paraphernalia for our comfort, security, and enjoyment, and then somehow or another we're going to realize we're not the body. If we spend all our time serving the body, and then how are we going to realize when, you know, finally that we're not the body? If we're serving the body the whole time, then at the end we'll realize we're the body. That's what we think. Therefore, one has to become detached from the bodily concept of life. And best thing is to give up all this paraphernalia at some stage of life, all this comfort of living at home with all the shelter and security, and preach. Here, Arjuna was not going to become a preacher because he was the emperor. It would be kind of strange. The emperor went door to door and preached. People would become a little disturbed. No, therefore the emperors didn't take the sannyas, but they went, they renounced everything. And the important thing is, they fixed the mind upon Krishna. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yujaja Mayarpita Marobudir Mame Vasha Tisamshaya Ananyas Cheta Sadatam Yomam Smarati Nityasa Tatsyaham Subala Parta Nityu Tatsyogina. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always remember me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time you should perform your prescribed duty of fighting with your mind and intelligence fixed on me, and everything engaged in me, you'll attain to me without any doubt. One who's constantly devoted to me, one who constantly remembers me, I'm easily to obtain because of his constant engagement in devotional service. But to get to the stage of Ananyas Chaita Samatam, always remembering Krishna, we have to go through the other stages, namely Shravana Dasa. So Shravana Dasa is what we're doing here. We're trying to hear about Krishna, and we're trying to create the atmosphere in which hearing about Krishna is conducive. That's why we have this little seed here. It's not that when someone sits on the seat, then their philosophy becomes a little more elevated. If they were speaking on the ground, they kind of like talk more earthly things. No, the idea is that someone sits on the Vyasa sign, and there's supposed to be some qualification. That's why people come and visit the temple. We put the Vyasa sign away so that people just don't sleep on it. Here's a Vyasa sign. It looks pretty comfortable. It's nice to sit in the house. Maybe I should go to sleep on it. I'm kind of tired. No, it's so that there's some respect given to the speaker, not for the speaker's benefit. Not that if he sat on the floor and gave the Bhagavatam talk, then there wouldn't be as much air on the bottom there, so he gets a little extra air so he can speak. No, it's for the benefit of the listeners, so they pay better attention. Usually the person who speaks, he always takes his words seriously. Everyone loves the sound of their voice. But it's for the benefit of the listeners, so they pay more attention. Similarly, we have the temple room, and it just so happened Krishna God is here, along with his friends, and his pure devotee Prabhupada is here. Just so the atmosphere is there, that meaning is all conducive to hearing. Shravana Dasa. Dasa means the platform of hearing. And that requires renunciation. Go to a holy place, give up all material conceptions and attachments, and simply try to engage in hearing. Come to the temple and put aside all our hopes and aspirations of the future, and all our lamentations over the past, to give them all up and come here and listen peacefully. Therefore, the whole idea is all supposed to be spiritual. Then we come to the platform of actually being able to hear something. That's called acceptance. And if we actually hear it, then we'll be prepared to act according to it. If we actually hear reality, because it's very positive, then we'll be prepared to follow Krishna's instructions, if we actually accept it. And as we accept Krishna's instructions and act for Krishna, we realize Krishna is God. I'm His eternal servant. I have a choice either to be an illusion, or I have a choice to misidentify myself with His body, which is not my friend. It's not my enemy. But it's not my interest to misidentify myself with His body and mind. It's my interest to identify myself with Krishna. If I want birth, death, old age, and disease, it's great. You can get one body after another. Material nature is prepared in 8,400,000 species of life to give us endless misery, if that's what we think is our goal of life. Or if we want eternal bliss and full knowledge, awareness, the capacity to experience unlimited bliss in a spiritual body forever, if we think that's our interest, then we can try to become Krishna conscious. So Varana Dasa means we've accepted Krishna consciousness. And then gradually, remembrance of Krishna will be awake. And that's five stages of progressive Krishna Smarana. Who knows what they are in Sanskrit or in English? But the five stages of progressive Krishna Smarana. What's that? That's one of them. That's the fourth one. It's almost perfection. First one is Shravana. No, Smarana. Remember, simply remember. So once in a while we remember Krishna, and that's very good. We have the greatest opportunity when we come to the temple to remember Krishna. When we look at the deities, hopefully we're remembering Krishna. And there is his eternal consort. When we look at Srimati Radharani, hopefully we recognize it, that her name begins with R. I can't, something R or something. Dasi, I know, but. That's why we have the deity, so we can remember Krishna. And hopefully when we chant Hare Krishna, we also remember Krishna. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, we're remembering Krishna. So that's simple remembrance. That's called smarana. And when that remembrance, when we walk out of class and we're still remembering Krishna, that's called dharana. It's holding. We find our memory is just like a sieve. Whatever we pour into it, it just pours out. And that's something we're really attached to. We never forget our birthday. We never forget our name. We never forget what we want, because we are actually interested in those things. But when we become interested in Krishna and remembrance of Krishna holds in our mind, that's called dharana. We can hold it. And when we not only hold Krishna within our mind, but we start to actually concentrate upon Krishna, that's called dharana, dhyana, actually concentrating the mind upon Krishna. So this is what's mentioned here. Marayuda here is trying to concentrate his mind upon Krishna. There's nothing else to think about. If you have nothing, or as the mafia says, I think it's the mafia, I don't remember. I mean, take gold from a filthy place. But when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. Therefore, in the stage of renunciation that Marayuda here is on, he has nothing to worry about, because he has nothing. All he's worrying about is concentrating his mind more and more upon Krishna. Of course, he was trained like that, and he's a pure devotee. It's not that the kings, they just renounced everything and walked into the forest or went to the Himalayas, and they were just, you know, worried about whether, you know, they forgot to turn off the electricity before they left. No, they were trained throughout their whole lives to that stage, and therefore when it came time, they were able to make that step. The kings were surrounded by learned priests, learned Brahmins and devotees. And therefore they spent the whole time not simply learning how to expand their kingdom, maintain it, but also to concentrate their minds upon Krishna. And dhyana leads to the mind is concentrated on Krishna, then it also expands. That's called anusmriti, continuously becoming more and more deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And when that anusmriti is incessant, that's called samadhi. There's nothing but Krishna in the mind. That's the stage of asakti. Then from there, there's sampatidasa, the stage of realizing one's relation with Krishna, the stage of bhava. And one follows the footsteps of some resident of Vrindavan and comes to the perfection of life. When one realizes one's eternal relationship, Swarup Siddhi, his eternal relationship with Krishna, and in his spiritual body begins to render service to Krishna. This is what everyone's supposed to do. It's not that Marajudas there was Krishna's eternal servant and we're a body. Or anyone's a body. Everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. And everyone is supposed to do it. And we shouldn't think, oh Krishna, if too many people become your servant, you won't pay any attention to me. You'll be too distracted. We can't imagine how expert Krishna is in every relationship. That's what he's really expert at. He's good at creating universes. He's good at annihilating them. And he's very good at maintaining them. But he's best at maintaining relationships with living entities, enthusing them, and ever more loving exchanges with them. And he has that relationship with everyone, eternally. It's just a question of our taking advantage of it and trying to realize Krishna, and seeing how much I'm actually hearing about Krishna, how much I'm trying to understand. If I think everything's cool, everything's all right, because I have enough prasadam and I have a place to sleep, and no one's bothering me too much, so you know, why strain my brain about thinking about Krishna? We have to hear about Krishna, then we have to try to accept it by rendering better service to Krishna. And then gradually, while we're performing our service, remembrance will be there, and gradually, constant remembrance of meditation, constant meditation, and then finally, we'll come, we'll always remember Krishna and never forget him, which is the perfection of our sadhana bhakti. And then from there, we'll awaken Krishna will reveal our identity, and then we'll be able to enter into Krishna's pastimes in our spiritual body when we have Swarup Siddhi. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Smarana. Oh, you mean Shravana, Varana Dasa, and this Smarana Dasa. Smaranas. So in Smarana Dasa, there are five stages. Smaranam, Dharana, Dhyana, Anusmriti, and Samadhi. And then from there we get to Sampati Dasa, perfectional stage, where we realize that we're Krishna's eternal servant. And when we realize the relation with Krishna, it's called Swarup Siddhi. We enter into our spiritual body. Yes.
We don't hear the description of simple reactions for those in Kurukshetra, but Indra had to endure the simple reaction. Okay, in the Kasura.
Well, you find in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Yudhisthira was worried about how he was going to have to suffer, how everyone was suffering because of the sinful killing of so many living entities on the battlefield Kurukshetra. So it always applies. What's that? Well, first of all, they were Kshatriyas. They were duty bound to fight, and actually was elevating for them, not degrading. Well, Indra. Yeah, but Indra, he was fighting against a pure devotee. It wasn't just an ordinary Brahmin Indra killed, but it was a pure devotee. Exactly how the laws of material nature work in this particular case, you know, whether everyone got it that was coming to them, that I can't remember. Just like, who cut off the head of Dronacharya? Who killed Dronacharya? And what happened to Dishadumi? By whom? I think it was killed by Ashwatthama. So he got killed. Everyone got what they deserved.
And there is another thing, Indra, it was mentioned in Bhagavatam that he after he killed Vishwarupa, that he divided his things with the earth, women, and children, etc. And he said he could neutralize his simple reactions, but he decided not to. How he could neutralize his simple reactions and why he didn't.
Indra.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm not Indra, so I can't really. I'm not a demigod, so I don't know what their powers are. But obviously, they're on a different level. They can do things we can't even imagine. They can change their form. They can appear anywhere. They have all mystic powers. You know, we don't have these kind of mystic powers, so how can we understand? We're lucky if we can digest the prasadam we eat. But to speak of digesting sinful reactions. All right, thank you very much. Pranadara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Prananda.